know. You know how it is when you lose a loved one. Sometimes it hits harder at different times than others. And for some reason, I've kind of been feeling it a little bit lately. And so I just, Mom gave me one of Dad's Bibles when I was there. And so it's been fun because through the margins is full of his notes. And it's his handwriting. And it was pretty fun. And so I've enjoyed it. But then when we came for our message this afternoon, I had put the message together. And then going through the notes and stuff, some of the points that I'll bring out, Dad had mentioned that and put it in his Bible as well. So hopefully I'm not too far off then. Right? It's been a fun and a blessing. And so anyways, that has nothing to do with our service today. But anyways, it's been fun and help to me. So Genesis chapter 37, we're going to deal with three lessons today, three lessons from the life of Joseph. And so it's obviously with the life of Joseph, there's so much there, but just three kind of lessons to learn. And so as we start in Genesis 37, while it might be familiar, if we could just kind of focus in just for a minute. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he had dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his envied him, but his father observed the same. As we look this out again for just a couple, three lessons from Joseph today. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for your many blessings to us, and God, you truly have been so good to us, and we thank you for it. We thank you already for the day that we've been able to have, and we thank you for the Sunday school lessons that were taught this morning, and we pray that the messages were a help and a blessing. And we do thank you for the gift of a church family and opportunity to gather together and worship you. And we thank you for it. We do pray for Pastor. We pray that you be with him and help him and his family and protect him and bring him back to us safely, we pray. We do pray that as we look into your word, help us to learn and to be reminded of some truths that would help us in our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we think of the man Joseph, a lot of different things come to mind. Obviously, his life is one that we learn lots from and has been preached over and over and over again. But when we think about Joseph, and as we read here in our text, even our first lesson that we are looking at this afternoon, is first of all that Joseph was a dreamer, and I just mean that God spoke to him through dreams, and we understand that while the Bible wasn't yet finished, God did speak through dreams and visions and things of that nature, and then once his word was completed, that kind of moved away, from that to where he speaks to us through his word. But the thing that I want to focus on this afternoon is while Joseph experienced so much trouble from his family because he was a dreamer and because he had these dreams. One of the things that we have to be reminded of is this, is that God gave Joseph his dreams. Now, Brother Steve and I were kidding around about siblings a minute ago and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that when you're a sibling, you do want all of your siblings to bow down and worship you at some point. Right? Okay. All right. Well, let me just tell you, maybe you were an only child. That is the desire of every sibling, is that all my siblings bow down and do make obeisance to me, I'm sure. But the truth of the matter is that God had given Joseph these dreams. And when we think about that, we do be reminded that we need to allow God to give us our dreams and our desires. Now, understand that we have desires in life, and we all have to accomplish, and we should have goals and things of that nature. The thing that we need to be reminded of is that we need to allow God the opportunity to set what our desire should be. I know it's silly, but for me, one of the things that I've always hoped for, someday maybe, I think, the old plantation houses over kind of in the Carolinas, I think of those houses that are really cool, right? They got the big wraparound porches, the columns in front, got the driveway that runs straight to the front door and trees on, you know what I'm saying, right? We've kind of seen pictures of that. And for me, that's kind of a dream house for me that I'd be like, man, that's what we're shooting for. Needless to say, I haven't quite achieved that yet. But it's good to have dreams and goals and things that you're working for. But I would remind us that sometimes the reason why we have disappointment is because our desire and our dreams and our ambition. Many times that comes to even dreaming and the desires of our hearts, many times we don't allow God to give us those desires. Now, what I'm serious that when it comes to Joseph's life, dreamed these dreams and then experienced a whole bunch of life that had nothing to do, seemingly, with the dreams that God had given to him, right? I mean, when he's in the prison, you think he's thinking, oh, my brothers are going to bow. I wouldn't, right? Whenever he's there in the pit, no, what is it? Listen, need to allow God to give us the desires and to steer us in the course that he wants us to accomplish. God was going to do this work, and God was going to fulfill these dreams that he gave to Joseph, but listen, it didn't seem God was going to fulfill them. It didn't seem like it. Why? Because those dreams and that dream that God had given to Joseph, it was up to God to listen. Many times we get frustrated. God, this isn't working how I wanted it to work out. And many times it's because it was our desire, our dreams, and our goals that we've set in our lives, all the while we've negated allowing God to set our dreams. I tell this to teenagers. For this passage, I just ask them, and I say, just allow God to set the desires of your heart. Allow him to. Many times, I know what it's like. We all dream of the big fat checkbook and the big fancy house and the fancy cars and all types of things like that. And that's our dreams and our goals. But listen, when we allow God to give us dreams and desires to say, God, what would you want for me? What do you want for my life? And listen, it's up to God to. Joseph, it pretty much seemed like, with the hatred of his brothers, it didn't seem like Joseph could just finagle this thing, or in that way one day his brothers would come begging to him. But the truth is that was a desire, that was a dream that God had given to him. So our dreams and our goals should be formed and fashioned by God and God alone. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have goals. You know who should be in the middle of our goals? God. You know, one of the biggest reasons for divorce and split is unmet expectation. Well, I thought it would be like this. Well, I thought she'd meet me at the door every day with my slippers, newspaper, and a hot meal sitting on the table. Well, that doesn't happen to our house anyways, and that's fine. You know what happens? We've set those desires. We've set this standard. Oh, no, this is the way I think it's got to be. And what we need to do is allow God to give us our dreams and our desires and allow Him to fashion what those dreams and goals should be. Now, I know it's a bit simplistic, but when we dream, God, maybe someday, maybe you'd allow this. God should be at the very center of those. Now, I got to be honest with you. I never could have imagined how fun it would be to have a faith. I didn't know. I was a part of one. But to have my own family has been something that I can never imagine how awesome it is. It's heavy. It's a big responsibility sometimes. Well, all the time, for sure. But at the same time, I could have never imagined how wonderful it is when God brought Linda, Michael, and now baby number two. I couldn't imagine that. Why? Because it was what God has brought. And when we just stop, and instead of dreaming selfishly, we dream with the idea of this. God, what would you allow me to accomplish? What would you have my life to look like? Who would you have me to marry? Who, all of those types of questions that are so big and so vast, just stop. God, how do you want to work this? And so in our dreams and our ambitions, what we learn from Joseph could be this, just to have God in the midst and allow God to bring those things to our lives. Now, secondly, is this something that we learn from Joseph's life. Now, I know we're kind of skipping around in his life a bit, but something that we learn from Joseph is that he did right no matter where he was. Now, if you open your Bibles and turn with me to a few passages here, we find this, that Joseph did right no matter where he was. Let's look in 37, let's look at 27 and 28, the verses here. The Bible says, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." First of all, we see this, that Joseph did right even after being sold into slavery. He did right even after being sold into slavery. Let's look a couple chapters over, chapter 39, verse 7. The Bible says, "Came to pass after these things, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and he said, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, my master wotteth not what be in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, as we know that as he was sold into slavery, then he was sold to Potiphar, and in Potiphar's house, then his Potiphar's wife, here as we just read, tempted him. And here's what we see. That is that he did right even while being tempted. That he did right even when he was tempted. We find this over in verse 15 of 39. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he let his garment with me and fled and got him out. and she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Now, what we find again here is that, listen, that Joseph did right even after being lied about. Potiphar's wife said, oh, he came in here to do these types of things. And it wasn't true at all. She was the aggressor. And it came down that she completely lied about him. But here's what we find about Joseph. He did right. He continued to do right. We find in verse 20 that even when he was then thrown in prison, that he did right, even in the prison. We see this in chapter 40, one chapter over, in verse number 20. The Bible says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's day, that he feasted unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and the chief baker, among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. We find that even after Joseph was forgotten, he continued to do right. Now, we can continue through the life of Joseph. We see that he did right even after being slavery. He did right after being tempted. He did right after being lied about. He did right in prison. He did right after being forgotten. We find in Genesis 41 that he did right even after being promoted. Joseph did right. We also see this, that he did right even when it required him to forgive his brothers. We find that in Genesis 45. And so if we could learn anything from Joseph this afternoon, was first of all, that God gave Joseph the dreams and that we should as well allow God to form the desires and the dreams and the ambitions that we have. But then also that no matter where we are, do right. There's a song that Michael has sang it sometimes and one that I thoroughly enjoy. It's a little song and it says, do right till the stars fall. Do right, and it's a whole chorus, and it's a really good, really good song, but it just, to do right. Many times, it's not the hard things and the secret things of the Bible that I have a problem with. Truly, it's the things that I already know that I should be doing that many times I'm struggling with, and if we could learn anything from Joseph this afternoon is to remember to do right no matter where we are. You know, we always kind of kid around about making sure we're doing right, we're making sure we're on our good behavior when we're at church. And I get it, I know. But at the same time, we should be reminded, hey, when I'm at school, when I'm at work, when I'm at my house, when I'm wherever I am, I'm needing to do right, no matter where. You don't think that some of these places were tough places to do right? I don't know if you know this or not, but prison's not a hotbed of right doers, right? That's where all the people who aren't doing right go, for sure, right? Sold into slavery, being lied about, even temptation. Be reminded, hey, listen, we need to do right. You know why many people are turned off to Christianity? Because we try to do right when we come to church on Sunday, but then we don't even give it two thoughts any other place sometimes. And I'm saddened to say that many times I live even by that philosophy. And it's a shame that no matter where we are, we should do right. Do right. And lastly, everybody's favorite point for sure in the life of Joseph. Let's go back to chapter 39. Chapter 39. verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and of his master. And his the Lord was to prosper. And he made him overseer over his house, had put to his hand." Listen, here it is. Thirdly, tonight is this, that God made Joseph to prosper in all that he did. Listen, because Joseph, first of all, his desires, his goals, his dreams were set by God. Then secondly, because he continued to do right, no matter where he was, listen, God prospered Joseph. That God prospered Joseph in all that he did. You know who benefited from Joseph allowing God to set his goals and for him doing right where he was? You know who benefited from that? Potiphar. Potiphar did. Potiphar says this, "Man, the hand of the Lord is on this guy." So, and literally what Potiphar ended up doing, we know, is that he just handed him the keys to the house. "Here you go. Take over. See what you can do." And literally, even Potiphar was prospered by the hand of Joseph being upon him. We talked about that when we went through the book of Nehemiah Wednesday night, so a few months ago. Is, listen, that Nehemiah got to accomplish some great things. And it was because God's hand of blessing was upon him. And here it is, Joseph, the same way. Listen, when we look around and we see all that God has prospered us with, if you have anything in your life that's good and a blessing, that came from the Lord. I mentioned, I'm so thankful for my family. But you know who gave me Linda and Michael, baby too? It was God. I couldn't do that. It was God who did it. And so when we stop and we think about all that God has done, listen, we will even see more prosperity. Now I know, I got to be careful with that word. But we will see God's hand of blessings when we allow Him to set our desires, when we allow Him to give us our goals and our dreams. And if we'll continue to just do right, no matter where we are, no matter if it seems like dreams, goals, ambitions will never happen, if we'll just continue to do right, then God's hand of blessing be upon us. And it's God who prospered Joseph. How did Joseph end up becoming the second most powerful man in Egypt? Well, it was because he just pulled up his bootstraps and got it done. Yeah, right. It's because he allowed God to desires and goals, and he just continued to do right. Because of that, God's hand of blessing is upon him. Now, the truth is that we all want God's hand of blessing on our life. You're here. 2:43 in the afternoon on a Sunday. The truth of the matter is that we have a desire for God's hand of blessing, but let required result. Many times we want the blessings, but we don't want to deal with the work. I had a college professor who he would talk about sowing and reaping, and he said, "Some of you boys need to pray for crop failure." Well, that's probably pretty true sometimes, for sure. But the truth of the matter is that we want God's hand of blessing on our lives, on our families, on our children, on our grandchildren, on our kids of our church, the families that are represented in our church. We want God's blessing. And we look at a passage of Scripture and we look at a life named Joseph and we say, "Wow, God's hand of blessing was upon him." But it didn't just come that, "Oh, well, God, it's just luck. God decided, I guess you'll be lucky today." Oh, no, no. Joseph said, God, you give me my dreams. You set my desires. You set my plans and my goals. And God, with your help, I will try to be faithful in doing right no matter where I am. And then I'll leave the results up to you. I said this in teen class today, and it's true. Every product has a process. And the truth is that what product we want in all of our lives is for God's hand of blessing to be upon us. Well, if that's the product, what's the process? Letting God set our desires. And doing right, even in the midst of hard, troubled trials. You know who I also think about? Job. You know, sometimes it's interesting trying to preach the Bible and trying to be faithful to God's Word. You know why sometimes preachers get mixed up with names? Because a lot of the same things happen. Because it's not complicated. Well, today we're talking about Joseph. Okay. Well, Job. Job had a lot of trials that went in his life. And he ultimately said, God, you give, you take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He let the Lord set his goals and desires. He tried to do right. And we see at the end God's hand of blessing upon him. I already mentioned Nehemiah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel. Elijah. Esther. Ruth. You name it. When you see somebody in the Bible whose God's hand of blessing was upon them, you'll find these two things before them. That they let God set the goals. And they just continue to be obedient and do right. Even in the midst of hard trials, God's hand of blessing was upon them. So we want God's hand of blessing, but we got to do the work. It takes a process to make that product. While many times it's not complicated, I like to complicate it. I like to make it harder than it is. The Christian life is really this. God, maybe if there was a word. God, you be king over my life. You set the goals. I'll do my best to do right with your help. And then see God's hand of blessing upon our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us. God, we see that your hand of blessing was upon Joseph. Many times we can have the wrong idea. Well, it was just for him. Or, well, he just had good luck. No, God, it was because he allowed you to set his goals and desires. And he just continued to obey and to do right, even in the midst of hard things. Because of that, your hand of blessing was upon him. And I pray, God, I'm so thankful for the times in my life where I've just seen your hand of blessing upon my life, knowing that it wasn't me. It wasn't because I deserved it. But God, that when we allow you to set those goals and desires, and we'll just be faithful to live for you day in and day out, that your hand of blessing can be upon us. I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, as we stand to our feet,